is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to The Masters of None.
Masters of None.
There's another podcast out there called Masters of None. Check them out. They're very funny guys.
Craft Radio.
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Masters of None.
A comedy podcast that doesn't suck.
Masters of None.
We talk about and debate the best and worst of pop culture, man. Interview celebs and often make offensive jokes.
This is a comedy podcast that they say doesn't suck.
Okay.
Masters of None.
Brought to you by the Simply Syndicated Network, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and live on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, everybody. Art here from Masters of None. We're going to be talking about the World Cup, a poser's guide. Then after that, you're going to hear Mike and my interview with Charles Baker. Of course, you know him as Skinny Pete from Breaking Bad, but he's got a new show on TNT called Murder in the First. We talk about all the projects that he's currently working on thanks to Breaking Bad. So check that out after we break down everything that you need to know about the World Cup.
What's going on, everybody? This is Masters of None. I am Jay. With me is Art.
Hey, guys.
And Mike.
Hi.
What are you drinking, Art?
Toasted lager, my friend. Blue Point.
Nice. I am not drinking anything. I'm drinking water tonight.
Why, are you sick?
My throat's a little scratchy.
Oh, no! The scritchles!
Blue Point untoasted water.
Ooh.
How about you, Mike?
Toasted light.
I'm also drinking a toasted lager.
Nice!
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Here's to the weekend.
It's Friday. All right, so this week we are doing, as requested by our fantastic graphic artist extraordinaire, does all the artwork. You can see all his stuff at massivesofnunshow.com, massivesofnun.com. Has been massivesofnunshow.com for a while. Our own Graham, as you can see all his work, he does fine artwork for all of our episodes. He said, hey, guys, I know that you're whores for tying into something going on just to get some extra downloads.
It's true.
And I was like, right, you are, Graham.
Everyone
loves a topical podcast. So this is the Poser's Guide to the World Cup.
Yeah.
Cue Shakira or whoever else.
There you go.
We'll get to the musical cash-ins later on. But who's excited for the World Cup, you guys?
Brazil. Because everybody's protesting that stuff.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that? Like, there's protesters outside the World Cup Stadium, FIFA, I guess they call it. And then the people that run the subway, they all went on strike, which was very smart on their part.
Why?
Because if they, you know, want to go on strike and get their, and if they want to get paid, they'd be like, yep, this is a good time. Everybody's coming in from the United States and Canada to watch this soccer tournament. So we got to get them paid.
So like all the poor people, like, this is the perfect time to get what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Let's fuck the whole city.
Yeah. Chimichangas for everybody.
It's a great idea.
Or like for nobody.
Am I right, folks?
Yeah.
Totally. Well, cool. So, you know, every 4 years, it's the world throws an event that no one really cares about. That's called the Olympics. But then every 4 years,
whoa!
They throw an event that few people care about, or everyone else but America, apparently. Yeah. That's called the World Cup.
Has it been 4 years already? Man.
I know.
Just seems like yesterday it was World Cup 2000. What's 4 years? 10 in Papua New Guinea.
Ecuador.
That was great. Was it Papua Ecuador?
It was Papua New Guinea.
Big Papua New Guinea. Mm-hmm. The 2010 World Cup.
Where you play soccer.
Where the Tupacs of Qatar beat the LL Cool J's of Madagascar in a 2-0 romp.
Well, if you mean by the champion was Spain and the runners up was Netherlands, yes, you are.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, there's your first little poser's guy right there. You can cite past statistics from past World Cups.
Yeah.
It sound like you know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Just like that one.
Do you guys know how many goals were scored that year of 2010?
All right, I believe it was a record-setting number of goals, was it not?
I don't know about that, but it was 145 goals.
Wow, that sure is a lot of goals, Art.
Let's take a look at the replays, shall we?
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
Well, we're waiting for the first goal. It's real time, people. So we're going through the whole tournament of 2010.
And remember their long, elongated recorders everybody was blowing on?
Yes, weren't those called
the
Vuvuzelas? I still don't know how to pronounce it correctly. Is it Vuvuzela?
Vulvazilla, I think it was called.
Vulvazilla? Is that, didn't that fight Rodan? In the...
No, you're thinking that was actually originated from a Dr. Seuss book.
Oh, that's right, yes.
No, that was the porn version of Godzilla.
This?
Vulvazilla.
Vulvazilla? Yes. That was not Godzilla porn parody. Yeah.
It sounds just like a fart, but it's not, guys. It's just air.
Yeah, it's trapped
inside. Let's talk about the origins of the World Cup.
Why not?
So what year does that go back to, Art, since you seem to know the most about it?
1987, a young Joe Piscopo started Saturday Night Live.
I'm not sure that's accurate. Mike, what was the first year of the World Cup?
The very first year of the World Cup?
Mm-hmm. These are things you should know when we're talking about the World Cup.
Well, isn't this it's like the 48th year, the 48th World Cup?
Right, so times that by four. So
founded in 1930.
Same, 1930? I thought it was 1776.
Nope, 1930.
Is that correct?
wasn't it our founding fathers, the founding International FIFA Association?
The Fufuzelas.
No, it was back in 1930.
1930 was the first World Cup?
Yep.
1930.
Everybody played wearing gams.
Yeah. Yeah, see? I think we should play a soccer game out in a nicer field somewhere. Get it all taken care of.
Lindsay Lohan.
We can invite everybody, even the Negroes from other countries.
The host was Uruguay.
You are gay.
They actually won, and Argentina was the runner-up. 1934, really? Italy was the host, and guess what? They won. What is going on?
Wasn't it weird that You Are Gay was started by a bunch of third-grade bullies? They formed their own country?
Aha.
You Are Gay. That was an exciting year. I think that was the year America won it, right? The first and only time?
No, they came in third place in 1930.
Did they?
Yep.
So they all won, what, bronze ribbons?
Yes.
The shameful bronze.
The shameful bronze.
Yes,
as compared to the dirty Browns for second.
So who?
But you know, here's the weird thing: like, it's every 4 years, right? So right. What? 1930, 1934, then 1938, and then I don't know what the hell happened between 38 and 1950.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe World War II.
I thought that was something that Christians just made up. It was in the Bible.
1950, they went back to Brazil.
Didn't science disprove that? Or am I crazy?
Tom Cruise did.
America has never won a World Cup.
Never. Actually.
Did you say never?
Yeah, they never won.
They never won. Right.
I'm looking at this weird chart on Wikipedia, and I was like, I thought that like I saw United States in 1994.
No, that was just the host.
Yeah, that was the host.
It's just the host of the World Cup.
Didn't we win it once in the 90s when they switched it, like they toggled it every 2 years, so there's the World Cup, and then there's the Winter World Cup? Didn't we win?
No, that was Mario Kart. World Cup? Here we go.
Here we go.
Every 2 years, Summer World Cup, then Winter World Cup. Every 2 years. Didn't that happen?
Vote for Summer.
No, I think it was... No, I have no idea what that was. I thought like... Then were they trying to do like a professional league but over there, or something?
With like, I could have sworn that was when... when Carrie Strug broke her ankle and she ripped her shirt off and ran around the field. Did, like,
no, that was Mary Lou Retton.
Oh, shit. God bless us, everyone.
Yes.
Well, the best that the U.S. has ever done is third place, and that was in the very first World Cup. After that, they haven't even fucking placed.
1930!
Oh, it was back in the day when the Negro couldn't play.
This is when all the players wore top hats and tails.
Oh, I love tails.
It was truly the gentleman's game back then.
So much, so much tail going on.
Their monocles kept falling out, so it was very hard for depth perception.
I can't see where the ball is.
Where is it? This game is bully.
Everyone looked like they were running in fast forward.
That'd be awesome if they really ran that way back in the day.
Yeah. That was like when I was I always thought that when I was a really little kid. I always thought that people way in the past before I was born both ran fast and and there was no color in the world. It was just like the beginning of Wizard of Oz where everything's black and white. I literally thought they invented color in the 1960s at some point. Like, color didn't exist. I was an idiot.
This makes sense why Mike is still in 11th grade.
Yes.
All these years later. All right, so let's talk about this year's field of 49 teams. Yeah. Who do you guys think is the front runner this year? Who do you think has got the best chance to win this thing?
Cubs.
I don't.
I think this is this year. This is their year.
This is their year. Is Portugal in it?
Yes.
Sure.
All right.
Ronaldo.
I'm going with Portugal. Right? Isn't he?
Oh yeah. Didn't you just work the Portugal versus Ireland game?
I did. And damn it, were they? I'll tell you what. I don't know much about football, but I do know one thing. Portugal is way better than Ireland. Because you could definitely see it. Like, you know,
just their skin color or
hockey hockey type passing, just like it just, you know, so fast back and forth to each other. It was great.
Yeah. Soccer really is the poor person's hockey.
It is.
Think about it. When you break the game down,
it is
accessible to everybody.
It's like the ball, the puck, they didn't want it coming at them too fast. They're like, let's make it bigger so that it has farther to travel. It's not going to go as fast. It can't come at my face.
Plus, none of the third world countries can afford all that equipment.
Yeah.
It's way too expensive. Like, let's just pare this game down here. Open it up a little bit.
Yeah, let's just wrap some tape around a goat's head and we'll kick that around the dirt field.
Art, who's your favorite in this year's field of 74?
Ecuador.
How come? Led by the always amazing, what's his name again?
Tito Sanchez.
I thought it was Tito Santana.
No. That guy plays the pan flute.
Oh. Hmm. Tito Sanchez.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, he kind of grew up in the area of Joe Piscopo, 1987. He liked Frank.
Two Joe Piscopo references. Yeah. So,
he liked Frank.
He's scoring at home.
Yeah, he liked Frank and beans as his traditional breakfast meal to get him hyped up for a game. And then peanut butter and jelly for lunch. And then dinner, some tapas. But other than that, just the way he kicks the ball is fantastic. And I heard it spins counterclockwise instead of clockwise, which makes it harder to stop.
That's because only he's from south of the equator.
Yes.
That's the only reason that happens.
Because his foot's on backwards. Or upside down, or whichever the equator happens with that. But yeah.
Well, I'm gonna go with Art's pick too, just because that counterclockwise thing, that sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty difficult to do,
mm-hmm.
From what I understand. That's something you can lay out there as a poser if you want to be. You know, spinning the ball counterclockwise in a kick is actually a very difficult thing to do. Only two players have ever been able to do it.
Yep, Tito Sanchez and Babe Ruth.
Those two players were. I thought Pele did it, too.
Nope. No.
Pele did it right before he invented the Smurfs.
And he started making
No, Pele invented the suicide squeeze.
Oh, my fault.
We're screwing this up, you guys. I think we have that's two facts we've got wrong so far.
Yeah.
You guys got wrong. I'm trying to keep you in line.
Well, I do have in front of me here, I do have the odds of each team, of some of the teams.
Killing
in
its
the
coach?
World Cup. Yes.
Okay. What are the odds of each team killing their coach?
Well, Belgium, 20-1.
Oh, Belgium. I love their waffles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Portugal, 22-1. So I'm a long shot right now.
Wait. You're telling me the Belgians have a better chance of killing their coach than the Portuguese?
That's what I'm saying, man. It's a
Portuguese
mixed up
roll on a nice ham sandwich.
Taylor.
Belgian beer? Come on, man.
Am I right?
I feel like their coach would make a wrong move, and then they would just, like, have some beers and forget all about it.
I got a great idea.
You know what I don't get? I don't get the after extra time.
The stoppage time?
That's the score after 90 minutes plus 30 minutes because the score was even after 90 minutes, but then you take three more remaining minutes and put them in a box, and then whoever opens it wins the game.
Well...
in a box.
Three extra minutes. You want a gold card.
No. A box.
Well, I think the origins of that goes back to 1930, actually, before they actually had clocks.
Yeah.
So they would just see, they would wait for the sun to move so far, and that's how they know when a half would end.
Color was a mere 25 years away.
Yep. The clocks. Black and white sun.
Yeah.
It was
the big white one's the sun.
You didn't need as much sunscreen back then until the sun turned yellow.
Right.
1955. Yeah. It was a very good year.
Colors. I heard yellow was the first color.
It was. On the seventh day, God created blue.
He created man. His name was Roy G. Biv.
That's true. That's the true name of God. It's not Yahweh. It's Roy G. Biv. The G stands for God, naturally.
But in the Hebrew, Roy G. Biv begins with an I.
The colorful man will pass. The colorful man will pass.
Just don't try him. Get on a Millennium Falcon when he's 70 years old. Did you hear about that?
What?
You hear about Harrison Ford like breaking a leg during a?
Oh yeah, he was breaking ankles. He was doing
a crossover.
Killer crossover. That's what I heard. A one-on-one game.
We're talking about rehearsal. We're talking about film and Star Wars. We're talking about rehearsal.
We're talking about Snorlax.
We're talking about table reads.
I'm already sick of stuff coming out about the next Star Wars movie.
I'm not. I don't want to. I'm taking it all in.
I know. I bet you are.
Just like Boss Man, right?
The what?
Just like the Boss Man in soccer. No, Boss Man is a free transfer of a player who comes to the end of their contract, possibly due to a ruling of a European Court of Justice in the case of the Belgium football player Jean-Marc Bossman.
Hmm.
Right?
Interesting. You could, if you were at a party and you threw out that edict.
The Edict of Nantes.
That'd be amazing. It'd be amazing.
Sure.
It'd be like, that's why he's going to make this penalty kick right now.
Yep.
Just said it.
Yep.
Threw down an edict. Boom.
And they go box to box, right? Box to box.
That was also in Volvazilla. Box to box.
That was Nemesis.
It was an AVN award-winning scene. One of the things I think if you're going to be talking about soccer and the World Cup, first, you don't call it soccer. You definitely call it football. Yep, and it's already happened today. The day that we're recording, the first game was on tonight, and of course, already, you got players taking dives, and you got referees being accused of being on the take. That's, of course, something you always got to complain about. What's your guys' take on the referee situation? There's always the controversy of the refs being bought out. Yes. You know, who's corrupt, who's on the take? And it was a Japanese official being accused in the game tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's I think honestly, you're gonna this sport out of any one of them. I think that would be the case more than anything else, right?
I would think so. But I mean, the Japanese official is the only one to be shooting photographs the entire game. So you think he might have been able to really just catch anything that tried to squeak by?
Don't tell him you're Jewish.
Photograph.
Art, what's your take on the referee situation? Should they just ban referees completely from the World Cup?
No, they should keep them, man. I mean, since 1930, that was part of the chip shot and the clean sheet from soccer, you know, or football. You got to have them in there because you got to make sure that there's a clean tackle instead of a hard tackle. And you got to make sure that they're on the climb instead of the clearance, you know? So I think it's essential to have refs in there. Hopefully they're not on the take. I think last time I looked at the Soccer Digest Weekly, 60% of the refs were clean. So I'll take 40% dirty. It's all right.
Fucking Art spouting out facts.
Hard facts.
Seriously.
Art facts.
Artifacts. Artifacts.
Oh, boy. It's happening.
That needs a zinger. That needs a fucking zinger. You need like a what's the guy that dig up dinosaur bones? Like a fucking called archaeologist. Like an archaeologist digging away at a chiseling away at a rock. Archaeologist.
This podcast has gone plaid.
It's great.
Instead of cards, you know, a thing you should know is in soccer, you know, you get a card as a warning for like a penalty.
Yes.
Yellow card is a warning. Red card means you have to leave the game. The other team has to play without you for the rest of the game.
Green card is going to work there completely for more years.
Cake and a card means you're fired.
What do you think a harsher penalty should be for players who are pretending that they're hurt when they're not taking dives?
Lawn dart.
Lawn dart?
Yeah.
Like they have to eat one piece by piece?
No, they have to stay laying down, and if we throw a lawn dart up in the air and they get scared and move, then they get the penalty. If they don't move, then it's an actual fall.
What if the entire crowd gets to throw a lawn dart at the person?
I like it.
Kind of blacks out the sky like in 300.
Oh!
Lawn darts coming at them.
What an unfortunate thing to happen on lawn dart night.
What's that thing where they put the person with their
firing
head,
squad?
Their arms and their head in that little wooden...
Oh, like the little guillotine thing? Like
not
little...
a guillotine thing, but they just, you know, for public mockery.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I forget what that's called. The stockade.
Nice.
The
stockade. Yes.
Sure. There you go.
Right.
Put them in there in the middle of the
jazz guard
in the middle of the field. In case
he's got to stay in there during the game.
Yeah, and if he gets kicked in the nuts, he gets kicked in the nuts.
How about not wearing shoes? If they're a harsher penalty with them, they can't wear shoes for the rest of their match.
I think most of the people are used to playing without shoes, honestly.
Yeah. They can't wear their Umbros.
I mean, they're usually people start off playing with, you know, severed heads and whatnot. So I'm pretty sure they don't have cleats.
Okay, how about wearing larger shoes, like comically large shoes?
Oh, like clown shoes?
Yeah.
Dude, there you go. Or even high heels. How about they have to wear women's high heels?
Like it.
Yeah.
And the grass gets aerated better. So win-win.
That's true.
Yeah.
Speaking of aeration, when is the Women's World Cup? Do you guys know? Because this is something we should know.
Every other 2 years.
It is every other 2 years. It's not just like right after this one.
No, it's not like the WNBA. It doesn't come on right after this World Cup.
No.
We got next, do you?
No, they're a fixture list every 2 years, which means the list of games that a team will play during the season. So that's what happens.
What do you guys think about David Beckham?
He can bend it like no one else.
How about his abs?
Oh, good. They're beautiful.
His eyes.
You can eat pancakes off those things.
Griddles.
Mm-hmm.
Is he even playing?
Belgians will eat waffles off.
Yeah. Is he even playing? Oh my god.
Hang
shut
on.
Up.
I'm still cooking.
Yeah.
Okay. What were you saying?
Is he even playing?
No.
He's not playing on the World Cup?
No. Yeah.
His wife's playing now. He's staying home with the kids.
Yep. Right. Starting a boy band.
Making pop music, yeah.
Pepper Boys.
All right, good. Good for him.
How about...
people will get that, not you guys. Cool.
I got it.
So what did you guys think about the choice of Brazil as hosting this thing? We said, you know, they're having some problems with the people who work there. What about the execution of all the stray dogs?
Yeah.
About that?
Wait a minute.
I think that was Russia, but that's cool.
Yeah. No, I love how they're building these gigantic stadiums that are going to be have like 4 games in them, and after that they're just pretty much going to be abandoned.
Well, Brazil's a staple, 58, 62, 70, 94 in 2002, so I mean that's you got to have it there. Oh shit, that's the titles. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Artifact. you just got artifact.
You got artifailed.
Artifact.
All right, they only had it once. I don't know why.
What year was that, Art?
1950.
Yeah. 1950. So they're still playing in the same stadiums. Are they building?
Uruguay.
Are they playing in the same stadiums as they did in 1950?
Yes.
Because that'd probably be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
The seats would be all small like they are in Fenway Park because people were just so much tinier back then.
Yeah.
They're tiny dancers.
They had to make room for their hats and gloves. Sunday best to go out and see the game and see our boys. Whop the boys from Baltimore.
What about let's talk about the trophy. What is that thing? What is it supposed to be? Is it like a tree with a ball on top? Is it like some sort of monster hand?
I thought it's hands. It's like a hand, right?
Do you remember the end of Men in Black?
Of course, Art. How would I forget that cinematic masterpiece?
Do you remember that? Remember that alien that was playing marbles at the end? That's where they got the inspiration from.
Wow. Did you take a plane ride to get to the end of that fucking joke?
Yeah, it took me to Brazil.
That was amazing.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Exactly.
That. Yeah. Wow.
Mr. J. FIFA, his favorite movie was Men in Black.
The fucking trophy. It's a hand. It's a hand holding a small...
No, it's a giblet.
It's a fucking hand. It's weird. It's stupid. It's terrible. It's a terrible looking trophy. It looks like it's made out of Play-Doh. Like gold dip Play-Doh.
And it's really small, isn't it?
And it's chocolate inside.
It's like every 4 years for this.
Right.
This is the big prize. They play for like 3 months to get this little tiny ass trophy that's poorly made.
The Stanley Cup fucking destroys every goddamn trophy ever in the history of trophies.
Yeah, that probably is the best trophy. The Super Bowl trophy is also really small.
Yes, it is.
Like way too small.
And the World Series trophy just looks dangerous. It just looks like you're gonna poke somebody's eye out with that thing.
Yeah, it's just very spiky. Like
yeah,
it looked like something that might have killed somebody in Hot Fuzz by accident.
It looks like somebody's science fair project got way out of hand. You know what I mean? Like, Dad definitely didn't help you with that one. You were just like, let's just put a bunch of sticks in something.
Yeah, it looks like children would impale themselves upon it. It's left unsupervised near it.
Yeah. Whatever, any of fucking Frank Thomas's kids' eyeballs got impaled on the World Series trophy.
Talk about the big hurt, am I right? What's the NBA trophy? It's just like a ball, right, with a base.
Yeah,
basketball? Base.
Yeah, that's the one that looks.
How low can you go?
That's the one that looks as much like it should. It's like just right, you know. It's like not too important and not terrible at the same time, just like the NBA. It's perfect, right. You know.
Right. I hear you. Would it be funny if the World Series trophy was just a baseball on a little stand? Just like a gold baseball.
Is it T-ball?
Like size.
Yeah, one of your T-ball trophies. Oh, that would roll.
A golden Capri Sun and a sack of oranges wedges.
Everybody gets a free snow cone at the end.
So, yeah, how long is the fucking World Cup? It's
2 years.
It's long, right? It is. It's like a year and a half, right?
Yeah, I think like it goes like Memorial Day to Labor Day, pretty much.
Wow.
Who do you think's going to come out of the group of death, boys?
Yeah, now here's the thing. That is there you go. There's a good poser term right there. The group of death is as it's been coined this year, right? That's group what? E?
Yep, for the
right, so that's hell, purgatory. Mm-hmm. Were the other two countries in that?
Pestilence and mestilence.
And
Afghanistan.
And the group of death,
it's a group which has no clear favorites, so all teams have a good chance of getting enough points to go through the next round, and therefore the task is very difficult for them.
Yeah, you're looking at Group G. I'm sorry, not Group E. You're looking at Germany, Portugal,
bunch of gangsters,
Ghana,
USA,
and USA. That's fucking crazy, Ghana? Right there. Ghana
is a country.
Ghana. I don't know if we're gonna win. Boy.
Now here's our interview with Charlie Baker. Here we go.
Let's talk about how the teams qualify for the World Cup. So
yeah,
there's qualifying going on for 3 years. So let's talk about some of the more unusual ways teams can qualify. Because, you know, just winning tournaments and just having the coolest sunglasses. Different
passing
ways
a gallstone?
Yeah.
Yeah, the team that passes the biggest gallstone.
Mm-hmm.
Automatically qualifies.
And whoever passes the biggest one, that's the ball that's placed on the trophy.
Wait, do you pass a gallstone?
Yes.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You don't throw it.
Bounce pass it? You bounce pass it or you chest pass it?
Just pass it.
Okay. What's your favorite way to qualify, Mike?
Mine is if your country's national deficit is over $2 trillion, automatically, boom, in it, front runner. And you're one of the groups of death.
Pretty good, yeah. Also, if your country's gross national product matches the highest country's deficit, you also get an automatic bid.
Boom. Love it.
Which is cool. I also, my favorite way is the hopscotch tournament.
Hopscotch tournament?
That doesn't have much to do with soccer, but it's another way teams can sneak in. That's how Ghana got in, actually.
My favorite also is if your country's national export is fear, you get in the bad guy pool.
Also, any country whose national anthem is in a minor key also gets in.
beautiful. The saddest of chords.
I love the, the sleeper pick, or the one that gets in, is the country that most looks like the country that's represented in Street Fighter 2. For 3 years, India has just lost to, I think, Ecuador. It's crazy.
That's true. That's a good one. Good call.
That is a good one, yes.
Brazil!
Here's a fun poser's guide, fun fact.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that if there's like some kind of like 10th tiebreaker thing? Did you mention this earlier? If there's a tie after like, I don't know, like so many like overtime periods and quarters or whatever, it does like revert to like flipping a coin to see who wins.
Yep.
Really?
It's an actual true fact.
It is?
Yeah.
Yeah. They always have the... You also do forget about the 1964 World Cup, where it came down to a rousing game of rock, paper, scissors. And Brazil came out on top because they pulled the very, very scarcely used purple ray gun, which people don't realize you can pull, and it beats everything. So,
what is that? Is that where you hold the tip of your dick really tight until it turns purple?
Exactly.
Then you just come on somebody?
Purple ray gun. Brazil's great at that, especially because most of them are unclipped.
That's true. And all the prostitutes. Lots of opportunity for training.
Purple ray gun beats rock, paper, scissors. Heard it here, folks. Fun fact. Throw it out.
Hey, what you guys, do you know that Clint Eastwood, who's 84, is dating again?
What? We turn into TMZ?
Just wanted to let you know that.
Thanks.
Cool.
Wait, let me get my big gay... iced coffee that I can sip out of while we film the rest of this in shaky zoom cam.
Shaky zoom cam. I'm a camera guy. Don't really know how to use this. Here we go.
Hey, what did that girl's earrings look like? Zoom in. Oh, not too cool. Zoom out.
Next scene. Looks like somebody went to Starbucks. Burp, burp.
Hey, Jennifer Aniston, what you drinking? Latte? All right, thanks.
Hey, James Franco, they got a Payless shoe store in there? All right, cool.
Cool, man. Great to see you, James.
Hey, Seth Rogen, are they hiring at that Carvel? Cool. Gotta get an application. Bye.
What do you like better, man? Cookie Puss or Fudgy the Whale? Yeah, me too. Great to see you again.
TMZ.
All right. I think we've said all there needs to be said about the World Cup. What do you guys think? I think we've covered all the bases here.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you obviously know.
We've covered first, second, third, home plate.
Mm-hmm.
All super important. Isn't it weird that they put those in the corners of the field this year?
Yeah, that was a really interesting maneuver by them. But, hey, went in Brazil, right?
Yeah, corner kicks. Now use a bat. Just whack the ball instead of kicking it.
I love it.
It's weird. Interesting choice of the Brazilians to wear, instead of shorts, to all wear G-strings this year. Typical Brazilian fashion.
That's a weird football kit, right?
Yeah.
All perfect Brazilian waxes as well.
Is that a normal word for clothes that footballers wear? Just in case you guys want to fit in.
Kit.
A kit. Like, get yourself a kit.
And remember, the last ditch tackle.
What is that?
The last ditch tackle.
Was that the movie? Was it the last movie that Paul Walker was in? What was that?
So when a tackle causes an attacking player in front of the goal with only the goalkeeper left to beat and it fails.
Boom. I love that they have names for non-events, like non-eventful things that happen in the sport they have a specific name for.
How about loan?
What's a loan?
Letting one of your players play for another club sometimes because you hope to sell them later and get a bigger reward and better players for the for the future.
Was that the plot of Django Unchained?
I believe so. I believe so.
What are cool terms that they could throw in there in a conversation when they want to talk about?
If you're watching the game and like someone's about to get tackled, yell out "man on."
Man on.
Because that's shouted to tell someone that they're in danger of being tackled.
Am I incorrect in saying that if you want to pass the ball from the wings to the center, that means that you're squaring it?
No, it means you're bat winging it.
Bat winging it. Thank you.
Yes.
Mm. All right.
Do some women prefer their teams without wings or with?
With.
Okay.
With more protection.
What does offsides mean? Can someone explain that?
You have to change shirts before the next quarter.
Is it the same offsides as in hockey? Or no?
No.
Is there more than one line on the field? I don't even know.
There's 27 lines, vertical, 3 horizontal.
It's a Connect Four set.
Yep.
The most lines are in the Colombian team's locker room.
No!
There you go. Get out.
And now here's our interview with Charles Baker. Good night, everybody.
World Cup.
It's Art with Mike from Masters of None. And how you doing, Mike?
Good, man. What's going on?
Good, man. And I think you and I are both excited to have our guest coming on. Charles Baker, of course, you remember him as Skinny Pete from Breaking Bad. And now he's Chris Walton on TNT's show Murder in the First. Thanks for taking the time, Charles. How you doing?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Thanks, Art. How are you?
Doing well. First episode aired this week. Kind of been watching the reviews. You kind of checking out people on Twitter and their take on the show so far?
I'm watching a little bit of it and just trying to keep up. I'm already kind of sold on the show, so, you know, I'm not too apt to change my mind. But it's been nice to see that people are reacting rather positively to it.
For those who maybe aren't familiar yet or haven't seen the pilot, how can you explain the show in a nutshell?
It's a procedural crime drama. However, this one it follows the new style of it takes one crime and follows that crime for the whole season. So you get to see a lot more detailed view of the actual procedure and how a case either, you know, comes together or unravels or a little of both throughout the whole season. And it's more character driven. You get to know the characters a little bit better and see who the players are and really kind of delve into their lives a lot better. And I think that's a really interesting concept, which, you know, other shows have gone with that same idea. They usually talk about it in the same line as True Detective, where it's, you know, it's following the crime for a whole season and really seeing how the detectives work it out.
Did Jesse Bochco direct this one?
The pilot actually was directed by Tommy Schlamme, who is a really cool dude, as you can probably tell by his name.
yeah, right?
He's kind of a legend in this biz as far as quality work, and he's done some movies that I'm sure you've seen, and we were thrilled to have him on the pilot. Jesse directed a lot of the series, and he's also a producer on the show.
Tommy Schlamme, who you're talking about, which is a fun name to say, is he? You know him from he's an executive producer of The West Wing, right?
Was he? Yeah.
I think, yeah.
I more looked at all his directing credits and didn't even pay attention to his actual producing credits.
Yeah, he seems to have a lot of a great producing credits as well, and he does definitely have a certain kind of style. I was wondering, you know, from his direction, you're coming from Vince Gilligan, who's highly touted as one of the great TV show writers and creators. Now you're coming from with his material, and now you're going to something a little bit different, and it kind of shot a little bit different. Obviously, is that jarring for you as an actor?
No, I love diversity, so it's a lot of fun for me. And I hate to use the common analogy, it's comparing apples to oranges as far as, you know, types of shows, but they're both really good shows. For the kind of shows they are. As far as how they're shot, I always approach every job the same. So I don't pay attention to, you know, how they're doing it. I just kind of do it. And try and keep my part of the job consistent. It wasn't really, really trying at all. What I find neat is I've worked, you know, since Breaking Bad, which is one of my first real, you know, big kind of jobs. I've worked a lot of different shows and different movies, and I found some of my better projects, the projects that get noticed, are the projects that have a more cohesive crew and cast. And that was one of the things I love about Murder in the First. When I walked into the first day for the first table read, everyone in the cast was very welcoming and friendly. And if they didn't watch Breaking Bad, they were at least nice enough to be friendly to me anyway. And those that did watch Breaking Bad were extremely friendly. And it was really a really neat community of people, and not just a bunch of people showing up for work, which sometimes when you're doing film or TV, you show up to a set and it seems like everyone is just there for their paycheck. And
yeah.
Damn it, if I could just go home, I'd be happy. And that's it kind of shows in the end product, in my opinion. Burton the First, that cast and crew, it's just they're a lot like the family that Breaking Bad was.
Right.
They all love working together. They can get along well, and we all love our jobs.
Nice. Tell us a little bit about your character, Chris Walton, and what we kind of expect from him in the series.
Chris is, you know, he's one of your career kind of criminals. He's been stuck in the system since he was a kid, and now he finds himself entwined in pretty much what's the trial of the century. In the process, he kind of develops this relationship with one of the inspectors on the case, played by Taye Diggs, and they develop a friendship, and it kind of gives him incentive to change his life, to try and turn his life around. Maybe too late, but it's a neat story for such a small character in the overall scheme of things.
You get one look at your character, and right away you think, okay, it's just Skinny Pete with different tattoos. But do you feel that, like, is kind of refreshing to kind of break out of that mold and literally choose to not be pigeonholed into a certain type of character as this one progresses?
Yeah. I actually kind of had a rule, you know, with my manager and agent that I didn't want to do any more drug addicts. And then they brought this to me, and I went, well, I mean, you know, except for this one, because I really liked his arc. I love his story. I love playing like Skinny Pete drug addicts that turn around and surprise you.
Right.
He may seem stupid. He may seem like a bad guy, but just wait. And maybe your opinion will change about him. And maybe the negative feelings you had about him will end up being something else, you know? And I like playing characters that make people think on that level. It's easy just to play a druggie who's, you know, just stereotyped, but to make people start thinking that, hey, maybe that stereotype's not so stereotypical, that's the challenge.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. And yeah, you get to, like, you know, like I said, you get to kind of not only do the character justice, but also you can kind of, you know, for selfish reasons, you can say you're kind of furthering your career by literally showing people, hey, I can do a little bit more than just be a druggie.
Right. And in the same way, I'm also kind of, you know, a little bit furthering my career by working with some great people, you know, Stephen Boschko and Eric Lodl, who created the show and write the show, with Tommy Salami and Jesse Boschko, and being able to work with Taye Diggs. And I'm a musical theater buff. I you know, I'm Rent, Chicago.
Yeah.
I watched that dude in a lot of stuff. When we worked together, we'd be hanging out backstage, and he'd be singing, you know, kids show theme songs, because he has kids and I have kids, and they just get stuck in your head, and so you wander around singing. And hearing him sing the kids show theme songs is a lot different than hearing me sing the kids show theme songs. It was just really neat. It was like having a private little Taye Diggs concert.
Any little piano accompaniment from you as you did it there?
No, they don't. They don't usually let me have pianos around on the set. It's a noise factor, I think.
I got to tell you, probably one of the best scenes in Breaking Bad was that scene in the music store. Just the way the reveal of it and how it went was, and the kind of the punchline at the end of it, probably one of the best scenes of the whole series. Love that.
Thank you very much. I was really happy when they told me I was getting to do that scene, and because I kind of knew what kind of impact it would have for me as an audience member. I knew what kind of impact it would have had for me, so I was really hoping that it would have exactly the impact that it did. That people would go, wait, he's a druggie, but he's also a human being, huh?
Right. Well, I love it. I loved it too, because, you know, that show especially was so, I mean, I found myself, especially in the last season, I found myself holding my breath for extended period of times, like, just like, oh my God, what the hell is happening? And it was just constant. There was no give. And something like that, you know, the juxtaposition of that in this very tense show made such a huge release. It was really, really funny.
Right. And, you know, it was a blessing to be able to be that guy.
When fans come up to you and talk to you about that show, is that the is the piano scene like the number one thing that they talk about?
That's usually usually the subject, that and what's Aaron Paul like.
He seems like he's just, you know, what's Aaron Paul like is such a terrible question, just because he's just seems like he's Aaron Paul. He's just that guy. He's just a hang out, whatever. What do you want to do? Let's do it.
Yeah, he is. He really is. He's sweet. He's fun, smart, funny. He's talented. Man, if I swung that way, I'd be all over him. That's all I have.
All right, me too. All right, I'll say it. Fine.
It's okay to be honest.
I'm more of a Cranston guy, sorry.
Yeah.
Charles, I also want to talk about some other things you got going on. It looks like in production, looks like you played the role of TJ in Wild. What was that about?
Ah, Wild. That's a Reese Witherspoon project directed by Jean-Marc Vallier. You know him from Dallas Buyers Club. It's Reese's story. There's, you know, the whole movie is about the character that Reese plays, Cheryl Strayed, who has taken a trip from Mexico to Canada along the Pacific Coast Trail walking, and all by herself. And it's basically, you know, her story of that trip. And my character is one of the people she happens upon during that trip, unfortunately for her.
Who did you get to work with mostly in that? Was it just Reese, or did you get to work with Laura Dern and all? I see she's in the movie.
I got to work with J.D. Evermore, who's in everything. He just finished a stint on The Walking Dead, but the second I mentioned his name, my son went, "You mean that rude redneck from the movie Waiting?" Like,
oh,
yeah,
yeah,
that guy. he was in 12 Years a Slave. He was in Django Unchained. He's all over the place. And
he's in Dawn of Planet of the Apes coming up, it looks like.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's like, if there's something out, he's probably in it. he's doing another show right now, and damned if I. He's glad this isn't about him, because he'd be mad if I forgot what that show was. but he's a really neat guy, and that's where I got to meet him, and now he and I are buddies, and I'm looking forward to being in other stuff with him. He was in Dallas Buyers Club playing, oddly enough, a character named TJ. And his friend in Dallas Buyers Club was a guy named Clint, and now in this movie he plays the character Clint. So it's kind of a interesting, they picked the same two names for these two characters and just switched us.
Nice, man. You know, just kind of going off with Breaking Bad and people seeing you and your acting chops, so to speak, obviously you were on Blacklist as Gray, and then, you know, you're doing Murder in the First, and that, like I said, you got Wild, and you got You Can't Win, 11-11, and some other things coming up. I mean, it just seems like, do you feel like, this is probably an obvious question, but Breaking Bad's kind of helped you kind of jumped in, you know, into some other projects, right?
Oh, yeah. It's really, really helped just get my foot into the door of so many different opportunities. It's, you know, like Wild, I play a drunken bow hunter, and then I 11-11, which is my first lead role in a sci-fi comedy. Thank you very much. I'm real excited about this one. He's basically a Trekkie. he's a sci-fi nerd who has his own UFO tours in Sedona, Arizona, the UFO capital of the United States. It's a really funny movie with a lot of heart. And they actually let me play that guy. And I was like, whoa, that's weird. And then from that, I went to You Can't Win, playing a newspaper editor from the 1920s. And then I did Ad in Explorata with Mark Strong, which we shot up in upstate New York, where I get to play an astronaut. So, yeah, I've been throwing – throwing my weight around all over the place as I could, as long as they'll have me. And hopefully I didn't totally suck in any of these, and it will kind of spur some more work, and people will stop going, "Hey, it's Skinny Pete," and go, "Hey, that's Charles Baker. He also played Skinny Pete."
But no, it seems like when Mike mentioned earlier about, you know, the typecast and all that stuff, yeah, maybe Martin the First is like a, you know, something right there, like some connection, but the roles you just played, completely different. Unless they're all drug addicts, I think they're completely different, right?
Yeah. And they neatly, none of them are drug addicts. That was kind of my goal.
There you go.
It worked out really well. Yeah, I've just been loving it. It's been amazing. Breaking Bad, but yeah, definitely gave me that opportunity. It kicked open a bunch of doors for me and just kind of let me saunter around and do what I want to do.
You're the baker. I love it. No, that's great, man. I wish you nothing but the best. Is there, before we get you going, I just want to ask real quick, is there something you're hitting the gamut now of different types of characters? Is there something, or maybe a historical character that you think you would be perfect for? If they ever did a biography on this guy, call me up. I need to be front of the line. Who is it?
Oh gosh, it's like I could go through a list. I recently, and I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about it, but I should just say, if the opportunity for me to play Robert Mapplethorpe were to come up, I think I would probably I'd love to have that opportunity.
All right.
And there's so many people I would love to be able to play. Whether or not I would actually be right to play them, that's a different story. Joel Grey would be that would be an incredible character to study. My hero John Lennon would be fun too, but I'm probably too old to play him now. So yeah, but you know, off the top of my head, I couldn't exactly tell you, you know, which historical character. And I'll be honest, that's what I love about this business. What I don't know that excites me. It's like they're going to come to me with going, "Hey, we want you to play this guy who you've never heard of." And now I get to go study and learn about this dude and go, "Whoa, where have I been?" You know? And that's what happens with You Can't Win. It was actually a true story based on the biography of Jack Black, a hobo. Who was a kind of a career criminal. I played a historical character named Fremont Olger, who was the editor for the San Francisco Chronicle back in the 1920s. And so it gave me the chance to go learn about this guy and find out, you know, what it was he did. And he was really into a lot of things that I'm into, which is prison reform and figuring out ways to make our system actually work, which goes along lines with a lot of what I loved about Chris Walton in Murder in the First.
Nice.
Deals with a lot of the same themes about how the system doesn't work.
Yeah, I love that. And hopefully those certain roles like Robert Mapplethorpe that comes your way, that'd be great. Asking about Breaking Bad, was there something from like the set or something that like maybe was a like, part of the costume for Skinny Pete that you kind of like, "Hey, can I take this as a, you know, as a token of my time on the show?"
Well, I did ask about the hat.
Yeah.
And they said no, that actually they were holding on to that in case it went into the Smithsonian. And I was like, "Oh, that's cool." And then like a few weeks later, they were auctioning the other hat off. There were two of them. One was a backup. They were auctioning the other one off for charity. And I was like, "Man, they could have given me the other one." I swiped one of the, have you seen this man flyers?
Yes.
That Walt Jr. was throwing out when Walt was missing. I kept one of those for a little while. I think I gave it to a friend.
Awesome.
But no, I wasn't a big, like, I wanted to take stuff. I really wanted to, like, "Hey," but I felt like my role, my job on that show was on a kind of a precarious kind of situation. I wasn't hired to be in any more than just the first episode that I was in.
Right.
And so every time they brought me back was kind of a, "Hey, thanks. Thanks for not killing me yet." You know, when I knew that the show was shooting, I would turn down work for other jobs just in case they were going to call me. And sometimes they wouldn't call me and I wouldn't work.
Wow.
But when they did call, I made sure I was available. And you'll notice there's a couple of episodes where you have me there, but you don't have Badger.
Right.
That's because Badger was working on something else, because we weren't hired as regulars on the show, and so we still had to pay our rent. We couldn't just, well, my wife's a lawyer, so I didn't have to pay any rent, but you know, he had to work. So he took what work came, and then they would call and go, hey, I know it's only 2 days notice, but you want to come be Badger again? He's like, I just got this other job. So they would go, okay, well, we'll just give all Skinny Pete your life. And it would, you know, we were in that kind of place. If it weren't available, then, well, then I guess you're not going to be in this episode.
Right.
And so I made sure I was available so that I could stay on the show as long as possible. And it was just like that they didn't kill me off was, you know, kind of a miracle to me.
It got really dicey there for you, though, even at the end where you know, you thought it was on. But it was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Yeah.
Appreciate you taking the time. I'm psyched for you and just your career, because when I had the chance to talk with you last year, and now the passion you have for acting is just fantastic. So just want, you know, Mike and I want to wish you like continued success with all these roles. And I know that we're going to be supporting you when these films come out.
Right on. Thank you guys. Thank you so much. And
later, man.
I hope you enjoy. And, look out for 1111. It's one of the producers was the producer of Napoleon Dynamite. He said it was one of the funniest script he's ever read. Breaking Bad, Blacklist, Murder in the First, and Ain't Them Body Saints. I don't do crap, so you're going to enjoy these movies.
Awesome. Awesome. Congrats, dude.
Right on, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you take care, man, and thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Okay, no problem.
Later.
Don't forget to leave us a review and rating on iTunes and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Masters of None. Masters of None is brought to you by Simply Syndicated, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and streaming live on morelikeradio.com.
Check out the website mastersofnone.com. It includes episodes, news, articles, videos, pictures, so much fucking more, man. Check them out. Masters of None. Masters of a fucking excellent domain name, I'll tell you that right now. Father too many.
You think they had it? I think someone had it and they were like, we want that. We got it again.
You think they had to buy it?
I would think, man. Like you said, that's a good name.
Unless they got, they were going way far back.
Maybe they got, they saw that.
Maybe they got it. Maybe they got it way back.
How far back?
Way back.
How far are you going to go back?
Way back. As we go around like this. All right, check them out. Mastersofnone.com.